This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You set a date.
Yes, I set a date.
You know you're going to need a best man, right?
I found the most amazing dressmaker, and she agreed to do the dress for us.
We are all struggling to be our best.
Can I have some me time, please?
Did I ever ask you for some me time? What the hell is me time?
My dear, you have an anger management problem.
Fine, Cora.
City of Atlanta versus Washington.
Candy? I'm sorry, Your Honor. Seems that I know this defendant.
We are all searching for a better life.
Why you bail me out of jail?
Because you're a friend.
You ain't like the rest of us, Candy. If anybody can get out of here, you can.
And we are all on a journey.
I didn't raise no punk. You better go get that boot.
Between where we came from.
What are you doing with her?
I was just trying to help her out.
You've helped her enough.
And who we want to be.
What is wrong with you? Why do you feel the need that you gotta get somebody all the time?
Well, when you get and got and somebody done got you and you go get them, when you get them, everybody's gonna get got.
Yeah, but you're getting the gotters when they didn't do anything to you
to
get you.
Yeah, but if the gotters get me, I'm gonna get my Glock.
Tyler Perry and Lionsgate invite you to experience the laughter.
Joe, who the hell are all these people in my house?
She gotta go!
The sacrifices.
Don't you feel sorry for me? At least I get paid for what I do now.
And the convictions.
She's going to jail this time. I ain't going.
That make us who we are.
I see nobody told you I run this prison.
Young man, I guess nobody told you that I'm Madea. Mud to the damn D-E-A.
This February.
You're in love with her.
There's nothing going on with us.
Believe in forgiveness.
They gave me 17 years.
I'm gonna get you out of here. I'm gonna be here for you.
And allow yourself.
Everybody got a life, and what you do with that life is up to you.
To break free. Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail.
You saw me get ready to take this spot.
I took it.
Oh my God, look at your car.
So this is the 10th episode of our third season of Newcomers. We're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the first time with the help of Perry scholars, super fans, and sometimes people who have contributed. This season, we extended it. It's going to be 15 episodes.
We could not get enough.
We really couldn't.
And honestly, I don't think you guys could get enough. That's what the feeling is in the world.
Yes.
I feel like everyone has been very excited about watching Tyler Perry stuff. And people who have never seen it, just like us. It's opened up a whole, you know, universe for people. So it's been very exciting.
Yeah. I have now consumed 8 episodes of The Oval. And I could not tell you how everyone's storylines there. At one point I looked down at my phone, looked up, and there was someone coming out of a trunk, and I was like, what? I gotta rewind this.
I'm so jealous. I have to catch up because that show was maybe my favorite thing that we've watched.
At one point,
and the clips you posted, like there's a clip you posted where like the fucking first lady runs headfirst into the wall on purpose.
She screams, she spins around in a squat, stands up and runs into the wall. And we don't talk about it. It just carries on. And this is after she hit the president over the head with a glass bottle. She also tases her daughter at one point. And the way she goes down, I mean, it is wild.
Just anything I've seen, everyone on that show is so mean. And they're just screaming like vitriol at each other. Like, I mean, and Monique said that the son has like a storyline that is like brutally crazy.
Let me tell you, he is up to no good. They are planting seeds so far, but like he is a bad man. I won't say boy. He is a bad man.
I am going to watch this show. And by the way, we got a hot tip last week that if you want to watch it, you should download the BET app through Amazon because you'll get it all for $8 instead of paying $2 an episode if you get it through Amazon or whatever, which is, I love a deal.
A little hot tip. Well, we're not talking about the Oval today.
No, we're not.
We are talking about Madea Goes to Jail from 2009. Gotta say, Madea spends very little time in jail.
That was the part that pissed me off the most. I was like, yes. Go to jail. Like, when do you go to jail? She didn't go to jail till the last 10 minutes. The movie's 2 hours and 17 minutes long. I was like, why is it Madea Goes to Jail? It's just an origin story about how she got to jail. This should be the prequel.
It is a prequel to Madea, but I guess we're going to get a prequel when the Showtime show comes out. But Madea Goes to Jail is available on DVD. For a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. It is also on the Stars app. That's how I watched it. Yeah, I like the Star. I like Stars' content. I'm here for it.
You know what my favorite app is? This is so unrelated, but what? Discovery Plus.
Oh my God, Lauren.
All the shows.
Let me tell you, I love Discovery Plus. I also have the HGTV app and Rock the Block. They uploaded the wrong episode one Monday.
Like what? Like it was later?
PA or intern uploaded the back, like the behind the scenes clip as the episode.
No.
The behind the scenes clip was also just the behind the scenes clips. And I was like, somebody at Discovery Plus should get fired. So then I had to hop over to the HGTV app. These are not problems. But I was irate.
Well, no, our biggest problem is who won Rock the Block. I can't get into it now. That was one of the most infuriating finales of anything I've ever seen.
A bowling alley does you can't not live increase there. Value if the balls aren't real. They were little handballs.
The pins are on strings. So mad. People play it 3 times and be bored. I can't. Okay, we're so excited to talk about this movie today, though, because we could talk about Rock the Block for 10 hours, honestly.
Truly.
But we have a fantastic guest today. Ooh, with us is Sean Distin. Sean is a comedian, writer, producer. You know him from Wrecked and Mr. Student Body President. He most recently wrote for Netflix's Waffles and Mochi, which is so fucking cute. Welcome, Sean.
Guys. Dr. Phil is the greatest improviser of all time.
Honestly?
No.
That's the first thing I want to say.
We could just jump to the trivia. Guys. The trivia is that scene was completely improvised.
Yes.
And there's even the guy.
You know what? We could get into it, but I just want to say this movie is so crazy. And, you know, as the person that on the podcast that was lobbying the most for you guys to do Marvel, I was texting Lauren all the time.
Hey, what's going on?
And then I'd kind of pretend it was like, oh, what's going on with that? Oh, hey, can I talk to you about Marvel for a second? It was a campaign.
It was a passion project of yours.
It was a passion project. And was I upset that you started watching Tyler Perry movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, mm-hmm. I have never been more wrong. All I wanted was you guys to enjoy your experience on this podcast, and I was confident it was going to be Marvel, but I had no idea that Tyler Perry, these movies seem so up your guys' alley. I can't.
But Sean, it's movie. All downhill from here because we have had so much fun on this season. Yeah, totally. Like, I can't imagine, because we are probably going to do Marvel, but I'm like, I can't imagine finding as much joy.
Here's
as
what
I
think. I think there's endless Tyler Perry, right?
Yeah.
I think you always do one for them, one for you. Just do a little bit of Marvel and then pop back over to some more Tyler Perry and then catch up on the new shit when it comes out next season. Like, the fact that he has so much coming out.
So
I think
much.
This is an endless side of the podcast to me.
He literally, if we did like a sub podcast, like how 90 Day Fiancé has like 10,000 spinoffs, we have newcomers Tyler Perry, and it's or Tyler Perry's newcomers is what it should be called, but he doesn't own it.
Yes, Tyler Perry presents newcomers.
Pillow Talk. It's like a Pillow Talk spinoff.
It is.
Guys, I'm so happy to talk about this movie today. It is so crazy.
It was
truly two different movies.
Yes.
Happening
fully
at the same time.
And that's kind of the Madea thing.
Effect like, of it all, right?
Yes, because Madea is pure broad comedy, and then she's always plopped into these worlds where like people are on crack or like something horrible is happening, and you're like, how are you a character in this? Like,
Let me ask you this. Obsessed. Was this the movie that you guys have done so far that has like the biggest stars? Like, Viola Davis is in this. You got your Dr. Phil cameo. You've got a bunch of cameos at the end.
Steve Harvey, who truly was like, I don't know if I really want to do this.
He's like, I'll read these first three sentences and you guys could take that footage.
The one with Kathy Bates, I feel like she's such a big star.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yes.
And Alfre Woodard.
They had the whole cast of The View talking about this movie.
I think this one had the most guest stars.
Yeah.
But in Madea's family reunion, we had Maury Povich, which to me...
That's huge. I'm a Maury stan over here. I love
Tyler Perry
Maury.
Loves daytime TV is what we're picking up on.
Yes.
He wants everyone in the film.
So I wanted to just... So on Discovery Plus... Yes. Every season.
Oh, you
want to
talk about Rock the Block?
Just real quick, I did hear you guys talk about Rock the Block, and I absolutely am going
so
to watch
good.
That show.
It's so you need good.
To. I've been watching a lot of Tiny House Nation, which is a show I've been really into.
Is that where people make tiny houses?
Yeah,
or is
it's
there
where
more
they
to
like
it?
Make it's they make tiny houses. It's
I,
kind
I
of fun.
I don't,
very
I don't
want to
live in a tiny house. I don't
like
either,
and
there.
That's why I can't watch it.
I know. I'm kind of like, who cares? Your toilet fits under there.
Because I'm like, you're going to cook on that stuff? Too small?
Well,
you can't make stuff for friends.
Here's what I was going to say about Discovery Plus. I believe every season of Survivor is on it, right?
Is it? Because Survivor's CBS.
I've been meaning to watch that.
I'm
not sure where it is, but the reason I bring it up is, do you guys know that Tyler Perry is a Survivor super fan?
We know this.
This has been brought up. Yes. I've been meaning to get into Survivor, but I never do it. But
I know which season for you to watch.
Okay, tell me.
Watch the season on Netflix. There's two seasons on Netflix, and one of them is Cagayan. That's what it's called. And it's season 14 or something. But it is the season that when you watch the final episode, Tyler Perry pops up. And
I might just watch that episode.
Truly, it's the finale. And he's there in the crowd, so excited. And Jeff Probst goes up to him. And he's like, well, you guys probably saw him, but this is Tyler Perry. And he gets up and he's like, oh, I'm so excited. And he's like, what you guys don't know is Tyler Perry calls me every night with ideas for Survivor. And one of the ideas they ended up using in that season.
Wow.
So if you watch the season, it's kind of fun because there's a little Tyler Perry.
That's
cameo.
Really funny.
And
that's
it's
great.
He's just such an interesting guy because like that is a huge part of his life. And it's not at all related to his career or like anything he's doing. Like,
I love that. I love a super fan. Well, so how much Tyler Perry have you consumed in the past? Are you familiar with Tyler Perry's work? Or are you just knowing him from Survivor?
I have seen clips and parts of these movies. I don't think I've ever sat and watched a full Tyler Perry movie. But it's interesting because maybe I have and it just didn't feel like that when I watched it because their stories are kind of wild. But I didn't know much about Tyler Perry. I will say I recently was doing a Ninja Turtles podcast and he popped up in one of the Ninja Turtles movies as a character named Dr. Baxter Stockman or something.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, Tyler Perry's in this movie. Didn't think he was going to be in it. And he's pretty fucking good in it. And it
he's
kind of made
funny.
Me,
he's great.
Great. And he was also good in the Star Trek movies, right? Mm-hmm. Was he in Star Trek?
I didn't realize he acts so much.
He was in Star Trek. He was in Gone Girl.
Yes, he's great in Gone Girl. He's good in stuff outside of his wheelhouse. But then I did not know of his wheelhouse. And this is a whole universe that I will say, in watching this movie and hearing you guys talk about the prequel and how they should cast Nicole.
I want it so bad. Honestly, as I was watching the movie, I kept going, yeah, good afternoon. Like,
let me tell you something.
Just practicing.
I work in television. We talk about casting all the time. This is a slam dunk cast.
That's
because not only that, I didn't realize she's an ex-stripper that used to work the pole.
I mean, and like, I can have pole the skills. Dance. You have
like
the skills.
You are already doing it, Nicole. Like,
you don't have to have private training to do this movie.
And then it's also like so much improv. And when I was watching some of the improv, I really was just going back to the days of watching you do improv, Nicole, in a way that was like, there is something unexpected and amazing about Tyler Perry's improv that...
I actually really agree. And it's something that I'm always kind of like surprised by every single time.
Yeah.
Like, his improv is really good and it actually makes everyone laugh and throws everyone off.
It's great.
He's doing two things. He's improvising the lines that are like, we need all this information in the scene. So I'm just going to ramble until I get it all out.
Yeah.
But he's also really engaging and he's listening and responding.
Yes.
And I just think as an improv, like I want to throw it out there. This is the perfect casting. Not even as a joke. Like,
no.
They would be stupid to not even get, like, we got to see Nicole as young.
I know.
Like,
well,
that
we
shit
keep,
is crazy.
We wonder if it's going to be a man.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be. I think it's funnier if it's not.
I think it's going to be funnier if it's not as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can get a younger man. Like, and also there's the whole thing of like, do we always want to dress up our men as women? And like, I just feel like Tyler Perry's been doing it since the play. Like, you know, he can keep doing it, but like, we don't want to make, we got Nicole Byer. What are we doing?
I do think he retired Madea though.
As him playing the character?
I believe so.
Is it because it was maybe a little problematic? There was some slight problematic stuff here in the prison, I will say.
Oh my God.
The prison.
When we finally get to the prison, you're kind of like maybe a little grateful you haven't been in the prison the entire time because you're like, I cannot believe these side characters that are here and the way people are talking. I mean, there's a lot. Sophia Vergara.
Sophia Vergara, wow. She had a great one day of shooting.
Right,
they said,
had a lot
Sophia,
of fun.
Do whatever you want. And she said, okay, I'll make my hair into a mustache.
It was truly goofy.
You know,
it's goofy.
As a writer, like watching this movie, And you mentioned like they don't go to prison till like the last 30 minutes. I think it's literally just because Tyler Perry sits down to write the movie and starts clicking and clacking away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got scene after scene. And then he looks down, he's like 140 pages. They better get to prison. Boom, boom, boom. The whole end of the movie wrapped up so fast. I was like, okay, yeah. Like
they better get to prison.
It truly does. Like we have talked about how it feels like he does not care about format.
Yeah,
he doesn't care about any
nothing.
No. He's never studied how films are made. He just types and then he just goes like, and then this happens and this happens and then this happens and everything that happens is crazy.
Yes.
And then it's like I already made the movie Madea Goes to Jail. That's the title of it, so we have to have her go to jail at some point.
We've got the jail set up.
It's like so silly.
Yeah.
You know what I just remembered? I don't know if we've mentioned this, but those Ernest movies. Ernest
yes.
goes to
yeah,
jail.
Ernest goes to jail.
Camp.
Ernest so, Christmas.
I was a huge Ernest fan when I was a kid because Ernest Goes to Camp is, I think, a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. I remember like, thinking it was really scary when I was little. Something scary happened in that movie?
There's Ernest Scared Stupid that's really
that's
scary.
I like Ernest Scared Stupid.
It's like a campier one and there's a lot more puppets and weird shit.
That's
but
probably what I'm thinking of.
That one's fun, but then Ernest Goes to Camp is kind of like a camp movie and it ultimately is about this camp that's built on indigenous land and Ernest helps them get their land back. It's a really fascinating movie and there's a lot of really funny parts in it, but then Ernest Goes to Jail is fascinating because I think they're in the same comedic universe, like Madea and Ernest.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, it feels like these two characters just go places.
So in Ernest Goes to Jail, yeah, exactly. In Ernest Goes to Jail, he is given the election. What happens is there's a a person that looks exactly like him inexplicably. And that person switches with him. So he goes to jail and the criminal Ernest is outliving Ernest's life.
That's and a pretty fun premise.
It's a fun premise. And Ernest, the real Ernest, is getting put to death. They're giving him the death penalty. And they put him, literally, it's crazy.
That's so extreme.
They put him in the electric chair. It turns on, and instead of him dying, he gets the power of electricity to shoot from his hands. So he breaks out of prison and saves his friends with the power of electricity.
Oh my God.
But as I was remembering that plot, I was like, that could happen in this movie, and yeah, I wouldn't be blown away by it. Mm-hmm. Like,
totally.
Wait, did you know there's an Ernest Goes to Africa movie?
No, I did know that, but it's just flooding back into my memory now. I don't think I saw it.
Oh, no. The first picture that pops up is Ernest in blackface.
No!
Ernest is canceled.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Buddy.
Oh, my God. I see it. Oh, no.
I'm not going to look. I don't want to.
And it truly looks like he's being like Jerry Lewis. It looks like it's from like a million years ago.
That is tough.
This is horrible. Oh, there's multiple.
No.
So I'll tell you what.
No bueno.
I'll tell you what. If you want to watch a Goes to Jail movie, maybe make it Madea. Maybe we don't support the late Ernest P. Worrell.
I do think Ernest is an interesting story about just like career story, because he was like, it was a character from a commercial.
Yeah.
Really?
He was, I believe, a local, like, even
it was like a car commercial.
Wow.
Like Ernest, like, and he was like talking to the camera and the character Vern and whatever. And then
he got like a little movie deal. I mean, it's similar to when they tried to make the TV show out of the cavemen, you know?
Yeah. It's not a great idea, usually.
it was a giant franchise. But I do think that you can see the influences from both Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
A little bit of Ernest, just in the titling alone. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because the thing that I really like about Marvel movies, I'll keep connecting it to that, is that they're all interconnected. And like people appear in other people's movies. And I feel like he's even doing that inside the movie. Like you said, it is two movies happening. There's a movie with Madea.
Mr. Brown's in it.
Mr. Brown, who has his own story. But Madea's movie, and then this other movie with the prostitute and the lawyer, the couple.
Which is intense.
And then they like, crossover is when they all end up in jail together. And that's the first time.
That you even begin to understand why he has all these storylines.
So I'm imagining, when you guys mentioned family reunion, I'm like, is that just like all of his movies' characters in one big reunion?
Did we watch that one?
No, we watched, wait.
Madea's Big Happy Family.
Because Family Reunion, I believe, is one. And I looked at it and I'm like, the Browns are in it, Madea's in it, and there are a bunch of other characters. And I'm like, did they have their own movies?
Well, the Browns
have their own TV show, Meet the Browns. And then Meet the Browns ended, and now they have a show called like Meet the Olds, or it's something where
assisted
they're like
living, assisted living.
Meet
I was
the Olds.
Very far off.
I do think it should be called Meet the Olds, though.
I love that it's an interconnected universe. Like I didn't realize that Madea lives in all of these movies and is related to everyone. And
it makes it kind of fun because I think there's something about that makes everything a little more accessible, even because you're like, oh, this is here we are with these characters again. It's sort of like a sweet. It's not typically how things work. I mean, that you would have
totally.
Like
a, I think in the Marvel universe it does, but again, I'll keep bringing that up.
But I, as you know, do not know that.
But this reminds me. I may have even said this on this podcast, but to me, it's crazy that there is not a rom-com cinematic universe.
I would love that so much.
Like there should be 6 or 7 rom-coms that are loosely in the same tone. And then at the end of one, they should get a wedding invite. And they all end up at the same wedding. It's like 2 side characters get married and then they all end up at the same wedding.
I love that too.
Or it starts
at a wedding.
Yes.
Then you see the aftermath of everything and it culminates in another wedding because there was different connections. Ooh,
I love that.
Write it up.
Because I've always, you know, I love the like Star Wars and Marvel shit because it rewards you for watching more shit. And that's kind of what I think Tyler Perry does. Like, if you watch all of Tyler Perry's movies and all of his content, I bet you have a different understanding. And it's like more fun for you because you're like, oh, I remember that character. I remember that joke. I remember that callback, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he does, like Nicole, you mentioned like right before we started that he does like reuse some jokes in these things. But then it's like, yeah, okay, do we classify that as a callback then? You know what I mean? That,
well, it's
that
in feels, the same universe.
It feels it generous. Is. It feels generous, but I do think that maybe it could be. It feels like the kind of thing, though, that when you're writing stream of consciousness, you kind of come up with the same joke over and over again. Because like,
you just don't even care. You don't care about someone's like, that's the same joke. I don't care. It's a different movie.
There's literally somebody who reuses jokes that I cannot remember.
So it's Sorkin. Sorkin has, there's a super cut of Aaron Sorkin online.
Kevin Porter made it, right?
Yeah, yes. You see like every single like turn of phrase and little joke thing where it's like, Rome wasn't built in a day, but if it was, it'd probably break, like in every movie kind of joke.
It's so funny because it's like literally long speeches that are the same,
that are just
and
repeated.
How could you possibly feel comfortable getting away with that?
Well, like, I would feel, I'm not gonna knock my man Tyler Perry for doing it if Aaron Sorkin is doing it.
Truly, I feel like
it's happening everywhere.
Tyler Perry is just borrowing from things he's seen and he's like, oh yeah, I'll do that too.
Absolutely.
Emily Heller was telling me that Stephen King also doesn't outline, he just free writes.
Wow.
And if you like look at the structure of his movies, they're not like a real three-act structure. They're like an introduction. Like I just watched Misery. It is the introduction to what the movie is. The second act is the movie, and then it ties up real nicely in
right
like
at the
15
end.
Minutes. Yeah. But it works.
And it feels different than other movies, which is probably what sets it apart.
Yeah.
Like, there was something interesting about watching these two plots in this movie that were only connected by they were in the same courtroom for 5 seconds before. But watching the two plots go from the most dramatic shit I've ever watched, I think.
Yeah.
To, I think, quite possibly the funniest improv comedy movie I've ever seen. Like,
but this is what's so crazy because, I mean, we've had this happen with other movies of his where, like, you're like, this one storyline is the saddest thing I've ever heard. Someone's being really abused. There's a rape in the family, something awful. And then meanwhile, the funniest shit is going down the next second. Like that movie we watched, I can never remember which one's which now, but
is it Family Reunion?
Is that the one where it ends with Maury?
Yeah, with Loretta Devine. And we both cried.
There's a funeral scene where we're sobbing. And then it ends with Maury Povich and a you're not the father or whatever type thing. And I'm like dying laughing.
You're drying your tears and you're like, wait, what the hell is going on?
Like, wait, let's go. This is funny. And then you're like crying, laughing. And you're like, Tyler Perry, you fucked me up. And now I have to talk to my therapist.
Yes. But
to me, it's its own tone. Like it's extremes. Yeah. Extreme drama, extreme comedy, like
completely. And the characters are so extreme in their opinions, in their emotions.
Everything's so
at a 10. Like it's
everything.
There's never been someone who was like a little bit sad or like a little bit mad.
Oh my god, every extra in this is like, watch it, old lady.
Oh my god, that ADR killed me. When she's driving before she picks up a car with a forklift. I mean, also that car was so funny.
I'm like, I want to find these people. They're all in Atlanta, probably. But oh my god, there was just, and then you would cut from that to like the guy being like, "She got raped, man!"
Oh,
and
boy.
You're just like,
oh, boy.
I can't.
I know that topic comes up a lot.
Rape is a running theme in most of Tyler Perry's
work. Yeah, because we have the one where the guy was falsely accused. We have the false accusation of rape in The Oval.
Yes.
We have the real rape that happened in that family one.
Here was the most fucked up thing about this movie is ultimately the movie was constructed so that this person who had been abused her entire life goes to jail, meets Madea, and the first thing Madea says to her is, you got to take responsibility for your own shit. You're in prison because you did something and nobody else is going to take it. I was like, wait, this person literally, I don't know if you're right about that, but it's like, that's the message of the movie is that this character that has been assaulted multiple times should learn to take response. It was a weird message. Like, well, Madea's not a good person, right?
No,
like,
Madea's not a good person, but Madea has the morals, apparently, that
morals.
Everybody looks to. Like, she's the moral compass. And you're like, But she also drives her car into like a Burger King. Like you're just like,
yeah,
this is
she
like,
drove
so...
her car into a Burger King and then like 15 minutes later was like, y'all need to respect your dying mother's wishes. Like,
no one should listen to you. You're completely unhinged.
No,
but, okay.
It's absolutely insane. And I will say, like, I don't generally get surprised in a comedy, you know? And there were times in this where I was like, she's not going to go get a gun, is she? And then she did. And it was so surprising to me. That joke, that moment, Lauren, Nicole, that is to me, yeah, this guy knows comedy. Like, he's not fucking around.
But this is my takeaway so far of what I love so much about these movies and shows is like what you're saying, like you think, oh, the craziest thing that would happen would be someone do that. And then they do it every time. Or they do something you never would have thought of. And then you're like, why are they doing that? It's why you can't look away. Like you can never have your phone. Like,
I texted Lauren yesterday when I started this. We were about 8 minutes into the movie and I had to start it over. Like I had to start from the beginning. I was like, hold up. Who are these people? What is happening?
Did you get clarity upon the second viewing?
A little bit. A little bit. Clarity that I was not going to have much clarity, but
yeah,
it was just so exciting.
Tyler Perry loves to introduce characters and not say who they are. It took us several movies to figure out that Madea has a daughter.
It took us like so long to figure out that Mr. Brown was the dad of the daughter.
Yes.
And then when they're on Meet the Browns, it was like, they seem like they're married, but they are married in real life. So then they're like, it's like, wait, what? Like,
I'm now putting all that together because I heard you say that. And I'm like, wait, that is who these people were? Motherfucker.
Yes. In this movie, that's not clear at all.
Like, no,
it's like
not
other
at all.
Movies where they explain that. It was only the one with Loretta. What's her last name?
Loretta Devine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That where they tell us that is your daughter. This is the father. Yes. This is what happened.
But then also in this movie, she's wearing a wig that has gray in it, so she looks truly just as old as her dad.
Exactly. And you're like, they did it on purpose.
What is happening? And also, Mr. Brown did not move the story or aid the movie in any way, but there he was, and I was happy to see him.
He's literally there to pick up and drop off Madea from prison.
Yes.
That is it.
I wonder if something was cut.
Let me ask you guys this. With these Madea movies, is there a lot of him playing against him? Like, there are a few times that he is improvising with himself.
Yes.
Okay, so he's done that. Like, I was like, this is pretty impressive, like split screen. Like,
he has played himself as Uncle Joe, and then he also has been
the
like
weed smoking uncle,
a regular man who just looks like Tyler Perry in a scene.
Who I thought was great when he was Tyler Perry. He was like the right level of straight man. And
I love
and
when
stuff.
He's Tyler
he's
Perry.
So nice and like
it always like kind of gets me. Like I always think it's kind of funny when he shows up as Tyler Perry.
And he's just like, no, the reason we're here
is because you're crazy.
And you're like, you know what it is? It's like, and I think it's another one of those improv things. Like, it's more impressive to see him as Madea to know that his normal resting thing is just so normal.
That's true.
It's like, it really shows like this dude has range. Like
in this movie, I felt like he put himself in as like a regular man. Because he was like, ah, shit, a lot of things aren't making sense. I'll just come in and, like, say something.
Yeah.
Also, he does this incredible thing. When Madea is released from jail, Tyler Perry, as a nice man, is talking to these reporters. And he literally goes, look over there. There's Madea. And it's really like, I'm looking at, go look at something funny. I'm being really funny over there.
Listen to me. When I saw that, Nicole, that specific moment, I was reminded again, he wrote, directed, and produced this. So while he's improvising, he's directing the movie.
Yes.
He's like, at this time, and then Madea's going to come down. And it was just, genius
this
move.
This is that's so funny to see. Like, sometimes you see it in the bloopers where he'll be like, improvising as Madea to purposely direct the scene in a different direction and then wrap it up. Like, you're like, okay, he's like,
amazing.
And cut after some
it's
long
amazing.
Thing he says. And it's like, okay.
At the end, so I mentioned the Dr. Phil scene. At the end of this movie, there's like the entire credits
is just this scene.
Just them improvising. And, you know, they even show breaking but like Madea snaps right back into character,
picks right up
where she needs to be. Like, I truly, I know I was saying as a joke, Dr. Phil is the best improviser I've ever seen, But that moment and those takes and Madea in those moments, I'm like, that is world class improv.
Well, he's had a lot of practice. He's always the straight man on his show where someone's like, I fuck ghosts. Yeah, and he has to say, now how do you feel about fucking a ghost?
No, yeah. For him, it was definitely just him in his in the bag of his show. You know what I mean? But it was
That's so true.
There's that one moment. I don't know if you remember the one exchange where he's like, so why were you mad at her? And he was like, well, then because she got me, I got to get them. And he's like, but what if you didn't get her and then you ended up getting her and then you didn't get got in the first place? And they do that little run for like a few seconds. And I'm like, that is not written down. That is wonderful improv.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, surprising.
To the point where I thought Dr. Phil was reading it.
Me too.
I was like, it was like, ooh,
I had
rapid
to look
fire
up if it was improvised.
Wordplay.
But I think that's part of his like persona on his show of like little quips and witticisms that like, you know, tell the other. I have to say I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire after Dr. Phil. So I was sitting in my like room watching him play the entire time. And it's just very funny to think of him as being like a lightning fast improviser because he was the slowest. There was literally a question about change, like dimes, nickels, pennies, that you had to go like, which is it 10? Does it equal $10? One, you know, whatever. Like it wasn't that hard.
Just
and
like,
he had like a woman with him who was like his expert who was like went to Harvard or something and they kept talking about it. And they sat on that question for 25 minutes. And I was like, just talk it out. Like say it's nickels and dimes. Like it was just like, so it's very funny that he's
here's
very
the thing.
Fast.
He might have looked great because he was across from a world-class improviser.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're taught.
That's
you know?
What it is. You want to make your look good. But I was truly like impressed in a way that I was like, you know what? I think I had in my head what I thought Tyler Perry movies were.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that they were just like his own little Reno 911 where he just goes around and does bits and like,
it's got to be a blast.
Great. Oh, it's so
okay.
Fun.
Well, we have to do our news media.
Yes, news media. You don't have to explain to me. Hallelujah! I know it all.
Oh my god. Okay, Chris Rock discusses how he inspired Boo, a Madea Halloween, and its sequel, Boo 2. Lionsgate's new film Spiral from the Book of Saw, executive produced by and starring Chris Rock, was a repayment for the studio using a joke he made in his 2014 satire Top 5. As inspiration for Boo, a Madea Halloween and Boo 2. What?
What a life.
Okay, I'll tell you what that means.
You get repaid in a full-ass movie that
that's
you want.
That's crazy.
They stole his joke? Or they...
So he did the movie Top 5, and it seems like in Top 5, they must have made a joke about a Madea movie, like Madea, Boo, whatever. And then Tyler Perry probably saw it and was like, we should actually do that. And then in order to get the rights to the idea, they had to let him do a Saw movie, which is really crazy.
Oh, it explains it later. God. So I played an actor, much like myself, who's got a movie coming out, and it's going up against a Tyler Perry movie called Boo, Rock said in an interview with LA Times. Of course, we lose out to Boo in the movie, but the thing is, I totally made up Boo. I made up the artwork, and it's all my idea.
So when Chris Rock ran into a Lionsgate vice chairman at a wedding after the films were released, he jokingly asked where his Boo money was. 3 weeks later, studio executives reached out to set up a meeting between Rock and veteran Saw co-producers, which led to Spiral.
Okay, so what this means is that Tyler Perry saw this movie and was like, oh, wait a minute, that's not a bad idea. And then
like,
just
Boo?
Wrote
Pretty
it
good.
And
he's
did
like, there's
it.
Already a poster.
Or,
why not?
Or he was like, oh, you think that's funny? You think that's fucking funny?
I really
to say
hope
Boo,
that's what it was.
I'll fucking do it.
I really
I'll
hope
do
that's
it.
What it was. Because you know what? If he wasn't being petty, he would have asked Chris Rock to be in it.
Like, yes, probably.
That's
I think
true.
He was being very petty. He was like, I'll do it and also do a sequel. How about that? How about
that?
That's
I
so funny.
I love that. That's so Madea does have a Halloween movie and a jail movie, just like Ernest.
Yes, there's Boo, a Madea Halloween, and Boo 2. And I mean, obviously, we're going to have to watch one of them.
You got
to
watch Boo.
Oh, my God.
Don't act like you're not going to watch every single one of these movies.
Well, I mean, this season's going to keep getting extended. I, on my own time, am watching The Oval. I will watch anything Tyler
I'm
Perry does.
I'm jealous that you have watched The Oval ahead of me. I don't feel it's right. I need to catch up. I'm very excited.
I was watching it with my friend Mateo, who was in town, and I was trying to explain to him everything that was happening. And he paused it and was like, Nicole, how? I can ask you what you ate last night and you will not know. You will have no idea. But you just remembered so many different storylines. And I was like, they're just too wild to not remember.
Mm-hmm. The Oval has 20 individual storylines in the pilot.
Yes. Like you're like- also, Lauren, it is 25 episodes. They are all an, it's an hour-long show.
Oh, wow.
Of 25 episodes.
I do think his structure of multiple storylines that don't cross over in any way is really production friendly, you know?
But like, I'll tell you this, in The Oval, they do.
Oh,
but they like, start to cross
somebody
weirdly,
who did
right?
something is connected to somebody who did something over here. So then you'll watch people in the scenes, you're like, you don't know each other. There's no way you know each other.
Yeah.
But then they're like, okay, I was selling drugs. And you're like, oh my well, God. Were they selling drugs? Like, I was. And you're like, okay.
You know,
that's
how
a very
like
easy way to make people know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how there's like a Pixar. Like the Pixar story group, and they come up with like the new Pixar movies. Like, I would love to be, I know it's all Tyler Perry, but I would love to be in a room full of people that are figuring out these movies. And like, there's something about the freedom to be able to just be like, oh yeah, this person is going to slap that person.
But
and then,
that's the beauty. He doesn't need anyone else to weigh in.
Honestly, I hope the way he writes is as Madea and just changes his wig. And he's multiple people around the room, and he's like, we'll do this, and then we'll do this. Ah, Tyler Perry. Yes. That's a good idea, Tyler Perry.
And he comes out sweating. He's like, that was a good workout. All right.
I feel like if Madea were to type the actual script, it'd just be clacking.
God, I love Madea. Also, when I was watching the credits, I was like, I love that the first three credits are Tyler Perry.
He has no problem with that.
And I'm almost like, just do a full-length movie where you play all of the parts.
I want every single role in the credits to be Tyler Perry, and I want every the gaffer to be Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm.
I am not writing on the reboot of Madea or whatever, the Madea prequel. Mm-hmm. But if they cast Nicole, you should play a bunch of other male characters, Nicole.
Oh my God.
Like, it
what
should
a
be.
Dream.
Like, it should be that you're also in the Tyler Perry of like playing a bunch of characters, but you're just a female, you know? Like,
what an
you,
yeah, rather than actually
dream.
Being Madea, you're Tyler Perry turned on its on his head. I love this.
You'd be like a good. Young Uncle, whatever. Uncle Brown.
Joe?
Oh, Uncle Joe. Like,
Oh my God. That was so fucking funny.
So fucking funny.
Love that.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I kind of want a movie where it crosses over with like Big Mama's House and the Nutty Professor.
Oh my God, yeah.
It totally could. And that was what was so fun about this is I was like, because he's crossing over with all these other movies and like his comedy and drama are in the same movie, I'm like, Madea could show up in anything.
Yeah. Anything.
No, there's no rules. There's no rules. If Madea showed up on The Oval, I would not be shocked.
I want to see a movie that is The Wrong Missy meets Madea.
I would
that would be so fucking funny.
Well, all we want to do, Nicole and I, is improvise with Madea as equally crazy characters.
We
can't be the straight men. We need to be also ridiculous.
Now, I know this might not be as... I don't know if you can do this or not, but are you guys writing fan fiction for Tyler Perry this season?
Oh my God.
I mean, we haven't yet, probably because there's so much to get through.
Yeah, I know. It's like, how do you even do that?
Like writing fan fiction about Tyler Perry is like when a very funny person comes to ASCAT and you're like, well, how do you make that funnier?
We could not.
What am
write
I supposed
it.
To do?
Like you take Star Wars and it's like you make anyone fuck and it's funny.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's like
but if you do
this,
it here,
like,
that's
would do
like,
that.
So they only fucked. They didn't ask him to show his dick or something. You know, like.
Ooh, maybe I'll write fan fiction about Madea going to the moon.
Yes, let's do it.
What are all these critters doing up here?
Oh my God.
It's a full moon, of course.
Okay, we gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS or play online via Facebook games.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Okay, we got to jump into this movie.
This
Madea Goes to Jail. It was written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, and released on February 20th, 2009. So let's read this plot summary here.
Okay. After Madea is pulled over and arrested, her license is permanently suspended, and Judge Maybelline Ephraim, I think I'm saying her name right, places her in an anger management course. Madea arrives home to a party Joe threw to cheer her up. She isn't amused and scares the guests away.
Already, I had to stop and restart the movie here. Like, I was just like, hold up. It's starting with a high-speed chase of Madea. Like,
yes.
And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to be going to jail right away. Like, yes, we're getting right into it.
You would think. You would really think. So, meanwhile, Assistant District Attorney Joshua Hardaway.
Meanwhile.
She gets off because the officers didn't Mirandize her. And she goes, yep, Miranda never came.
Laughed out loud at
it's
that.
It's like talking about her period. Like
laughed out loud about that. I straight up was like, that is a solid joke. Miranda never showed up. That shit was funny. And then, and also in the courtroom where they're like talking and then they cut to the police officers and they're all like in bandages and they're like, hold up, you about to let her off? She kicked my ass. I was already like, okay, so this is like a fucking Zucker Brothers movie where everything's going to be funny. And then pretty quickly it sobers you up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, okay, we have the district attorney, Joshua Hardaway. He's tasked with prosecuting a prostitute, Candace Candy Washington. Josh asks his fiance and fellow ADA Linda Davis to fill in on his behalf since he knows Candace personally. When Josh takes Candace out to eat and gives her his business card for future assistance, Linda thinks he is cheating. Josh insists he's helping an old friend. When Linda finds out Josh rescued her from a pimp, she gets furious and threatens to leave him. Josh runs into his friend Ellen, a minister and former addict and prostitute. Josh asks Ellen to help Candace get a job, and she gets her an interview.
So much has happened in that paragraph that wasn't covered.
It's so much. But I also want to say, Candace, Rudy from The Cosby Show.
Yes.
Yes.
And
playing the most dramatic.
So let me ask you this, and I don't know if this was on purpose, but of course, we know Bill Cosby, shitty person because of his allegations.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never, Lauren, we'll hop
off. Yeah, me
real
either.
Quick
he just really it. Likes some pudding.
Yeah. I'll put some stuff in the chat here.
Really nice,
you guys
jello.
Oh my God!
But there is this really horrific scene where she wakes up with a man on top of her.
Yes.
And
yes.
I instantly thought about Cosby. And I was like, is this.
That's sick.
It's
like,
really.
Did they already know that? Like, was that rumor?
Well, I think the rumor was out there. I like, it's a specific choice to go get Rudy from The Cosby Show.
Oh boy!
To me.
Yeah,
that it was
is
so dark.
Fucked up.
I didn't even think about that. That is really fucking dark.
And I'll say I didn't. I don't know how over the top there is, but there is so much sexual assault in this movie.
Yes.
It's fucked. It's so crazy. It just made me, I was like, all right, I'm going to laugh at other scenes, but
also,
this shit is dark.
the scene where she's with the pimp, he's like sleeping on the whole situation's weird. He's like sleeping. He like wakes up. He's like, you can't go nowhere. Clean yourself up. And then there's like horn music that lets you know that we're now in a film noir from the 50s.
Yeah.
And the lighting is also like that, where it's raining and dark and there's neon lights that give you the light. And I was like, what? You're changing the tone of the movie?
I straight up thought it was a horror movie because she wakes up and you're zoomed in on her and it's a slow pull out. Mm-hmm. So you see this pimp guy.
Yeah.
And I was like really disturbed by that moment. But then pretty quickly, Madea shoots up her party. So you're just kind of like, all right.
Yeah. But, so Madea consults with Dr. Phil for anger management, but doesn't cooperate. On her way home, she realizes she needs groceries and calls her daughter Cora for a ride. Cora refuses to end her hair appointment early, which I'm like, it's a wig. There's no weave. This wig is plopped on this woman.
The wigs are bad, huh?
The wigs are terrible.
Except for Madea. Madea's wig is kind of good.
A stunning lace front. Yeah. But truly, this woman is in a salon with the hairstylist like lifting up the wig and like plopping it down kind of.
Looking underneath it.
It's not how anyone ever gets their hair done. So Madea decides to drive herself. A woman, wait, is this before or after?
No. Madea has, we skipped earlier. When Madea ran someone off the road.
Yes.
When she...
So Cora does give her a ride. She pulls up next to this man who's so rude for no reason. She's like, you cut us off. And he's like, whoa, whatever. And then Madea steps on the gas pedal as Cora's driving. They run him off the road. He crashes into a church sign and we never deal with that.
There's no consequences.
There's multiple times in this movie, and I'll say Medea's game is somebody fucks with her.
Yes.
And then you get like a nice wry little smile and then the craziest possible reaction you could ever imagine.
Yes.
And it happens like four or five times and it just never failed to disappoint. Like she straight up runs the guy off the road within 1 second. Like she puts the foot on the gas and the guy is flying off the
and
road.
And leaves this man. So Madea drives herself to Kmart. A woman steals Medea's parking space. Madea commandeers a forklift. There's people working on a forklift and Madea just gets it. And she removes this woman's car and the woman confronts her and she's like, put my car down. And Madea goes, oh yeah, I'll put your car down. Uh-huh. Is that what
she says?
And then she drops this car, this Pontiac, I think G6, and she is arrested and brought back to court, and she's sentenced to 5 to 10 years in prison. And the way she's arrested is outside her home. She has her arms up. The wind is blowing, and you can see the outline of Medea's body in a way where I was like, I don't need to see how the sausage
the
is made.
Like
I don't
this.
I don't really want this for whatever reason. It's like weirding me out.
I don't know why. I love Medea's body. I find it like really, I find the details to be very fun.
Because he's so tall.
So
and he uses his body.
Huge.
They're huge.
Hilarious.
But
to
I
me.
Think my issue was, I was like, Medea's got a pert, nice, round butt.
Yeah,
and
Madea's
I
butt
was like,
is
it
a little
Tyler
hot.
Perry's or is it Medea?
Oh, I don't want to know if it's Tyler Perry's.
Yeah,
butt.
That's why I was like a little like, oh boy.
I think it might be TP's, but I don't want to get into it. That arrest scene is really funny because it's like she gets away from the Kmart, which also I'm like, did Kmart?
No one cares.
They didn't care.
No, but what I mean is, did they sponsor this movie? Like, there are a few times where I was like, there might be product placement in this movie. Like, there's Minute Maid orange juices in the prison.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's this big Kmart thing. And I'm like, this wouldn't use Kmart if there were, like, I thought he was going to drive through it, honestly, but.
Well, oh my God, that would have been borrowed from Family Reunion.
That happens in the Burger King.
I watch A Million Little Things on ABC, and they, during the pandemic episodes, they get a lot of deliveries from Target, and it's like their Target bags, and they're like, God, it's so convenient. Like, they truly, it's like. There's like
but
a bright red Target bullseye, and you're like,
that's
okay.
Funny.
But I think it's one of those things where they're like, oh, Madea's going to go to fucking Kmart. And everyone's like, let's go to Kmart, y'all. Start some fucking trouble. Like, I think it's great product placement.
It is.
But when she gets arrested, it's like the cops, there's like helicopters and hundreds of police. And then she basically fights these police officers.
Yes.
And later in the movie, when they're on The View and talking about like, oh yeah, like this woman falsely put her in jail. They're like, for a victimless crime. I'm like, Madea has shot up a party. Like she must be she might be on the FBI's most wanted list, to be honest. Like, this lady is
she's
out
done
of her mind.
So much. So Candace is harassed at her job interview and she storms out. Before Medea's trial, Ellen asks Josh how he knows Candace. He tells her they were childhood friends who drifted apart during their college years. He reveals that one particular night he took her to a party and left with a date. Candace was assaulted and he has felt guilty ever since.
When Candace is at that job interview and she's harassed and she like hits him in the balls, mm-hmm. I love that Viola Davis walks in and she's like, I have to do something too. And then hits this man so hard in the head with her purse, which was filled with things. That was not an empty purse.
Was that improvised? Like, there was no stunt coordinator that was like, hit this guy with your purse.
There have been scenes in these movies where like people do physical things that are improvised and you're worried about it.
Yes. At the district attorney's office, Josh's best friend, Chuck, runs into Linda and discovers that she's falsifying Candace's file in an attempt to send her to prison. It's revealed that she used the same tactic on Medea. Linda blackmails Chuck, threatening to tell their boss he cheated on his bar exam, and she's got the evidence. Candace refuses to show up for her trial and returns to prostitution.
So wait, at that moment, I was like, is this from another movie? The thing about, like, I'm going to tell the police. I was like, is this guy from another movie and this backstory? No, it's just a detail he's using. Yeah. You could just blackmail.
So she's arrested by an undercover cop in the most lackluster way. She's like, yes. He goes, how much? And she's like, $50. And then she gets in and he's like, badge.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I was like, but like, you didn't even say $50 for what? Like, maybe you just like saying numbers, you know, you're gonna get everyone who loves just saying, you know, 50. Linda's falsifying her file, the judge gives her 17 years in prison.
Crazy.
Which is wild. Linda lies to Josh and tells him that she tried to get the judge to be lenient, but the case was too severe. Chuck overhears and almost tells Josh the truth, but chooses not to.
I love that Tyler Perry, I think he uses colorism in a way. Like, this woman is light-skinned on purpose. She is so, like, the bad black, like, There's something about the casting in this movie that was fascinating to me because, again, it's Rudy from The Cosby Show. And then this woman was just so specific. I mean, he does this all the time. Is he casting light-skinned women as evil?
A lot of the light-skinned women are cruel.
really
mean. Just have horrific things happen to them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So horrific. But also, I feel a little bad for her in the beginning when she's like, what's going on? Why aren't you telling me anything? It's like, yeah, there is a strange woman that you are. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't make sense in the beginning, but.
Yeah. Also, I love that she was like, detoxing on the couch, going through withdrawal because she does heroin, and this woman's like, "You love her," and I was like,
it's
"Ma'am,
so crazy,
it's
ma'am,
so crazy."
You think they're hooking up or something? Like, this is a
look
bad.
At what is happening right now? She's having like comical, like I'm in a play type heroin withdrawals where she's scratching her chest and stuff.
Yeah,
it is so.
Why are
crazy.
You jealous? Okay, so while in prison, Medea befriends Candace and comes to her defense when she is sexually harassed by Big Sal. Candace, Medea, TT, Medea's cellmate, and Donna, Candace's friend, attend a class taught by Ellen at the prison. During a lesson about forgiveness, Medea tells the class to stop victimizing themselves.
This is the craziest part.
Candace is moved by her words and forgives Josh. And the prison is like also funny. Like this is like where the comedy comes back in.
TT is Sofia Vergara. And she is one of the first female serial killers. She killed 18 men.
But also, she's like an idiot and she has like, she's like
a flower
smiling.
Right in the middle of her head.
Yeah, she's just like smiling nonstop.
And there's really no point to her character. But, you know, she got to have a couple scenes with Tyler Perry where they're like fucking around.
She did.
I'm sure it was fun.
You know, I'm sure it was fun. But I will say the prison is both very strangely like
clean.
Very well clean. Lit. It's like literally like, oh, this was the other set. Like, it's just all the same set. But the part that is crazy in the prison to me that was maybe the most comical was when Big Sal, I believe, is that the character's name? Tries to like assault Candy, and they're in like the laundry room, and Candy and Medea comically beat up
Yes. Like,
it's crazy.
But Candy just punches the air next to Big Sal in a way where you're like, wait, what is happening?
But it's
and
like
also she slams her into an iron.
Yes.
She
it's like she burns her
Big
face.
Sal.
And wait, I'm looking up Big Sal because I was really curious about this actress.
Me too.
And so she is a professional strongwoman and former female bodybuilder. And she was on American Gladiators revival. And she's 6'1".
And the only joke Tyler Perry could think of is that you look like a man, sir, and all that stuff. I didn't love it either. I feel like he must have grown out of that if he's talking about retiring Madea. And hopefully that is something that he's dealt with. But those jokes weren't fun. But it was crazy when he basically burned the entire side of her face with a hot iron.
Yeah. And all Big Sal did was like, maybe not even scream. And then they put her in the laundry, and then a guard finally says, "What's going on?" And they're like, "Tee hee hee, nothing."
What was interesting about that scene was Candy was in like a straight up hard drama the entire movie.
Yes.
And now she's doing physical comedy with Madea in the prison. And I liked that. I just thought it was funny that now this character has to live in comedy.
It's just like no one would ever do that. That's never happened.
Absolutely wild. And somehow Madea takes over Viola Davis's like prison meetings. Uh-huh. And now she's getting on stage and preaching.
Viola, they probably only had her for 2 days.
So yeah. They're like, we'll figure it out.
We need something for this montage.
Truly.
So on Josh's wedding day, Chuck tells him that Linda falsified Candace's file.
Yes.
This is maybe one of my favorite thing that's ever. So like it's like on his face and he's like thinking and then music is like doo 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 doo. And I was like, wait.
I was like, why is the guy's voice like fading out?
I was like, this is so weird. During the ceremony, Josh tells the congregation what she's done and leaves her at the altar.
Now we got to talk about this. This is, I think, one of those things where I'm like, the craziest thing isn't about to happen, right? And it does. Uh-huh. They make them read. First of all, her vows suck. Her vows are just like, I love you. I want to honor you. I'm here for you. Like the most generic shit. And then he says, I believe he says, I'll always know you're a great woman. But you are the most duplicitous. It's like such a hard turn. And I think when I was watching it, I stood up because I was like, there's no way. I can't believe he went up and walked down the aisle just so he could tell her off in front of the entire wedding. It's such
a
Tyler Perry moment.
She couldn't read the room. I was like, this man doesn't look happy to marry you.
He was so pissed. That was a fantastic scene.
Yes. So then Josh rushes to the prison where he admits to Candace that he does indeed love her.
But that's like, why? Why?
I was scratching my head so hard. First of all, he goes in there. Before he can even explain, he grabs and kisses her.
No touching.
And then they're like, we'll keep doing it a little bit.
Yeah,
he watch Arrested Development? Like,
but to me, it's like a movie where a character has been assaulted throughout the movie. The first thing you do is grab her and kiss her.
Right.
It just felt so fucked up. And he's like, I love you. I almost, in the movie I'm writing, she'd be like, wait, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you are crazy. I want to take care of you. I want to help you kick this habit no matter the dying breath. I was like, this is the weirdest way to end this movie. Like, I don't understand. She took responsibility for herself and now she got a husband. Like, I don't
know. It really is weird. She should just be alone for a second. After Josh releases information, the public finds out Linda tampered with cases and a movement starts to set Madea, Candace, and Linda's other defendants free. Madea, Candace, and 5 others are released. Linda is indicted on multiple charges and sent to prison. The film ends with Candace and Josh walking out of the prison and kissing in front of the press.
Which is wild. I was like, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think he was allowed to be in there as she like got her belongings. Also, I was like, did she go into jail in her like sex worker attire and then they like got her some stuff from like the Kmart? Like she was wearing like, she had like, also her hair was better.
I
was like, why did all the sex workers have fucked up hair
and they were dirty. I was like, they're not, sex workers aren't all dirty.
I know.
Then they kept being like, I'm on the streets. If you took a shot every time they said the streets, you would die.
You would be dead.
Just die.
I'm going to get you up off these streets. What are you doing on these streets?
I'm from
and
these
streets.
And it feels
like part of the extremism of Tyler Perry that like,
totally.
If they're on the streets, it means they like literally lay on cement to go to sleep. Like it's like, it's just,
yes.
Like, he has had like another character in the past who was homeless, who was just like that white guy from that one movie.
Yeah.
Where he's just like covered in dirt.
Yeah. He was
and
just
then,
dirty. Nick, he was covered in dirt.
Like, it's why just, is he cut? And then at the end, he like becomes like a real estate agent or something, and he's like perfectly put together. It's just,
you're like, wait, who?
You
is
know
this?
How they're like? You know how they're like? There are five characters in modern, like the clown and the whatever. Mm-hmm. Like Tyler Perry has his own little monoliths of characters. It's like evil white woman, evil light-skinned black woman, a virtuous black man who's up to no good. Like and it's interesting to me that I thought. In the movie that the guy, the main DEA, the DEA guy or the district attorney guy, I thought he was the one who assaulted her and he was feeling guilty for it. And I was like, oh, that'll be interesting that he's going to have his comeuppance and whatever. But it turned out that he just like invited her somewhere and she got, it was a weird turn to make him like this fucking angel savior guy.
He didn't do anything about it and he felt guilty about not doing anything about it. And then there's that scene where Candy's like, did you know? And I was like, are you asking this man if he like orchestrated this assault?
Yeah,
like,
it was so strange. And then like Viola Davis was like, you cannot take that with you anymore. And I was like, I don't know who to.
And there then
so
that woman at the jail who was like, you don't know what my daddy did. And they're like, let it go. You don't know what my daddy did. Let it go. You don't know what my daddy did. And I was like, she's got to figure out something else to say.
I just don't understand the message. I see the high drama. I see the tea that you, it's very fun, but the message is a bit strange, you know?
And I do think that happens, like, where it's like, it's a morality play, but I don't really know what I'm taking away. Like, I get that you're saying she's bad and he's good or something, but what am I supposed to learn from that? Like,
I get that there are morals here, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, this movie, in terms of awards, it did not win any.
No.
However,
snubs.
it got a Black Reel Awards Best Actor nomination for Derek Luke.
And I like Derek Luke. He's in The Purge, one of The Purge movies.
Yeah, he's good in other stuff.
Big Purge head.
And People's Choice Award nomination for Favorite Independent Movie.
It's
an independent movie?
Yeah, I kind of feel
like part of Tyler Perry Studios is
an independent
studio. But that seems like a weird loophole.
Well, it is.
It's like you're beating out movies that have no budget.
You know, New Line was an independent studio for a while, and they became like a big studio after like Freddy Krueger and Ninja Turtles and shit. But the thing about Tyler Perry, and I know you guys have talked about this, is that he like will fully produce his pilot and then sell it to the network as opposed to like have them pay, you know?
Oh,
and
I don't know if we've learned that.
We didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
We're just learning this.
I think for a couple of his pilots, I think maybe Meet the Paynes or Meet the Browns or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's got like at least two pilots he didn't get a deal with anyone. He just made the pilot and went to the network and like, yo, what's up? I can make the show. And then ultimately made it.
Just so you know, I was looking up Donna because I thought Donna was like a pretty good actress. I was like, Donna, I buy everything Donna's saying. Donna usually plays cops. And I think it's interesting that she played a sex worker who was like dodging the cops.
Yeah,
she's an agent on Graceland, NCIS New Orleans,
I remember
CSI
her
New
from,
York.
I remember her from a Quentin Tarantino, I think Death Proof or something.
Yes.
Grindhouse. She's in one of the Grindhouse movies. It's funny. I recognize a lot of actors in this, even extras that don't have any lines. I'm like, you end up becoming like, there's a woman at the end who responds to the, like, she, like in the wedding, there's a wedding guest that I know is an actress. I've seen in a bunch of stuff. She has no lines, but she just has the most incredible reaction to the tea. That's just like, wait just one minute.
Was that the district attorney? AD Fran Walker, Aisha
Is that
Hines?
The district attorney's friend?
Yes.
Because she was wearing a different wig and I thought she was a completely different character. That might have been what happened.
It's tough. It's tough with these wigs. I don't know who does the wigs on this.
I always think that's such a weird problem these movies have. It's like,
What?
You know what it is? I kind of think, and I noticed this with the wardrobe throughout, everything is moving so fast. When she calls him and he's at home asleep with his wife, he is wearing jeans and shoes in bed.
They're not in like night clothes.
They're not even under the covers. No. They're just in jeans.
Oh my God. He's like, and then, we don't have time for you to change. Just keep going. Like,
yeah, but then she comes in later buttoning her shirt like it was off. And I was like, we just saw that it was on.
The same shirt. We know you were wearing the shirt. And then at the wedding, I noticed too, like, the suits these guys are wearing were so big. And I think it's just because they're just like, we got a couple of suits, put them on them, let's go. Like, I don't think they're fitting anything. I think other than Tyler Perry, I think wigs are getting thrown on. Lighting is getting thrown up. There were scenes where I was like, yo, you're making this dude look so moist right now because of the lighting setup you have.
Like, moist.
It was very, very fun.
I mean, I had a great time watching this movie.
They're all fun. It's like,
it's crazy to say they were fun because there were some incredibly fucked up things, but
it's part of it. It's part of the twists and turns. Like,
it's like the cathartic laugh after the really fucked up scene that hits really hard. Like, I was so happy to see that scene with her and Dr. Phil, because I was like, okay, finally, we're going to have a long comedic scene before we go back into this other melodrama. And it works. It really works.
Yeah. Well, the film currently has 29% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
But what the audience say?
Well, critics did recognize Perry's formula for success.
Mm-hmm. One critic from Time Out Chicago wrote, the predictable, even absurd twists that the movie takes to reach its happily ever after conclusion are amusing, as are the smartass quips and disposition of Perry's popular alter ego.
You asked about audiences. Audiences like the film. Mm-hmm. It has a Google audience score of 90%. The budget was $17.5 million. It landed at number one in the box office its opening weekend with a final domestic gross of $90 million.
Wow.
Yeah, no, this I think was the time where everyone was recognizing that these movies are making money. He's getting all these guest stars in them. I think when you get to like the Madea Christmas movies and all the, or like the Madea Boo and all that stuff, these movies start to make more money than you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one that made me really think, when theaters come back, if another Tyler Perry comes out, I have to be in theaters.
100%.
Because to me, what I think would make this movie even better was just seeing, I want to know who's reacting to what, like who thinks that's actually a good, like when Madea was like, you need to like stand up for yourself. I was just picturing myself in a black theater with people being like, that's right. And I'm like, yes,
this one was so fun.
One of my favorite movie going experiences was I watched the movie Players Ball in theaters. It's like an Ice Cube movie about a strip club or something. Very crazy movie. But, the movie sucks, but watching it in theaters,
I wonder if that affects the audience score too, because it's like people who were seeing it in theaters and had a great time.
Oh, you'd be hooting and hollering. It'd be the most fucking fun to watch Madea in theaters. Like that scene where like she comes down with the machine gun and starts shooting up her own party. Like I want to be able to just fucking chop it up with a full theater full of people. Like,
yes,
so good.
Well, the film is based on Tyler Perry's play of the same name, which toured from 2005 to 2006. And that's also an interesting part of this, like where these films based on plays, where that's part of the structure thing, where like it's not a movie structure. It's just kind of going like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet this was two different plays. Like, I bet Madea goes to jail and then the like DA, whatever, were two different plays. And he's like, we'll slap them things together. They meet in jail.
Maybe. I wonder. I mean, Madea Goes to Jail, the play, is also available.
I know. It's on BET Plus. Mm-hmm. And I was about, and apparently you can download a free week of it. So I was maybe going to pop on, but I didn't have time to watch it before because I was curious. I was like, what was really from the play and what's brand new?
Yeah, we
new?
Do need to watch a play
before
we get to the end of this season for sure. Oh my God.
We've made it to the end. Sean, do you have anything you want to plug? Thank you for being here.
I want to plug Waffles and Mochi on Netflix. Like, it's a kid's show about
food.
If you have kids and you want to watch a show that's somewhat funny but also educational, watch that. And, you know, I love newcomers. I'm going to continue to lobby for you to watch these Marvel movies. But I'll say, there's three phases of movies you got to watch. And the first one's only six movies. So I told Lauren,
there's three phases?
There's 20 something movies, but they separate them into phases. So if you were to do like the first phase of the Marvel movies, you could whip right back to Tyler Perry after six movies.
It might be nice for us to have like a treat. Like we like earn it, you know, like we get to do like
I don't
another...
think you could do all the Marvel stuff in one season, to be honest. I think you'd kill yourself. You'd be so bad.
That's
so,
the thing.
Because now there's like TV shows, right?
No,
like
you don't
gotta
watch the TV. Yeah, you don't got... You won't need to get there. You just need to watch Iron Man to Endgame. These are two movies.
Okay, we're going to take that.
You know, you don't have to do it, but I watch every Tyler Perry thing. I want you to come back
will.
To it.
Sure we will.
I want you to watch every Tyler Perry thing. So if it's like you watch six Marvel movies and then come back and watch all of the Oval season two, you'll be happy.
Oh, that boy. Would be fun. Well, Sean, you're the best. It's time now for our five hallelujahs segment.
Don't got
I never
want to
do it because I love when you say it.
I always feel like I want to toss it to you and I think people are waiting for me to say
it. I love it. It's so reluctant, but also a nice time for you.
Five hallelujahs. I mean, you pronounce it perfectly. It's
five hallelujahs. Okay. So so this one comes from Eliza Marie in KST, the Oval episode. I can't even. I love this podcast and have listened since the beginning because I love Lauren and Nicole. I was really excited for their Tyler Perry series because I'm also a newcomer to his work. I did a quick search and the very first thing I was able to stream was The Oval. I died. As I watched, I kept thinking, ooh, I can't wait to hear what the girls have to say about this. I was not disappointed. I look forward to your episodes each week because it's like getting together with girlfriends to chat and laugh. Aww. Hallelujah to the expansion to 15 episodes.
Yes, absolutely agree with that sentiment. Nothing is better than listening to you guys after a big slog with Lord of the Rings. Just dig in to these movies. I absolutely love it.
It's been a treat.
It's been so fun. Well,
and I'll say this. If you are not cast as the young Madea, I will quit working in this industry. Like it's
we
just
like a change.org petition. So everyone leave us reviews. We're going to read more 5-star reviews on the future episodes. So if you're leaving a 1-star review, you're not going to get it read out loud.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have to leave a 5-star one.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with another one of Tyler Perry's works. We'll see you then.
I'm excited.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.